By your word, O God, everything was made. Your word is powerful and can transform the hearts of men and women. Speak to us today, O God. Open our hearts and minds to your renovating word and give us guidance and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our first reading is from Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward Negev.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, the last two verses of the entire Gospel. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Last week we talked about Noah and the great flood. God threw out what God had made and started over. God told the animals to be fruitful and multiply, and promised all creation that never again would God send a flood to destroy all life. This week, the focus of the Bible changes from grand scale events like creation and the fall of humanity and the great flood to this couple, Abram and Sarai and their family. It's like the beginning of the movie The Sound of Music. The movie opens with a huge, wide-angle view of mountains, the Austrian Alps. Then we glimpse this little tiny figure on one of those mountains. And it zooms in on that person and zooms in until Julie Andrews fills the screen, walking and singing. The view from 50,000 feet, stories about the creation of the cosmos and universal humanity, changes to a much more focused close-up on one man. The Lord said to Abram, and the story of this man and his wife and their descendants fills the screen, even when the camera pulls back later to show more people. The whole rest of the Hebrew scriptures are talking about the descendants of this couple. God tells Abram to leave his country and his family and the people he grew up with and the people he does business with and almost all the people he's ever met, and to go to the land that God will show him. God tells Abram that he will make a great nation out of him. God tells Abram that God will bless him to make him and his name great, so that he will be a blessing. God will bless those who bless Abram and curse those who curse Abram, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through Abram. Before we go into what Abram does about this, let's spend a moment on Abram and Sarai and their circumstances. They are not a young couple itching to be out on their own. They are already older people, and they have no children. Now, we don't know why they never had children. There could have been a biological problem with either Sarai or Abram. We don't know. They are the first couple mentioned in the Bible of any species to have trouble with infertility. But they have no children. They live in a world where there's no such thing as a Social Security check, no such thing as a pension. There is no such thing as providing for your old age other than having children. And they have no children. God has told all creation to be fruitful and multiply. And they have no children. This is the couple to whom God says, leave everything you know and go into this faraway land, and I'll give that land to your descendants. I believe that Abram and Sarai could have been pardoned for a little incredulity here. Excuse me, God, what descendants? The last time I checked how that works, descendants required children. And there seems to be a distinct lack of those running around here. But if Abram or Sarai protests, nobody writes it down. They go. They take Abram's nephew Lot and all the servants and slaves of their household, and they go. Now God has made a threefold promise to Abram. God promises him descendants, land, and a blessing. Abram has done nothing special to deserve this, or I'm sure the Bible would record it. And this blessing is not for Abram's own sake. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abram is blessed to be a blessing. It's not for his sake or the sake of his family. It's for the sake of the whole world. Abram, or Abraham as he's later known, and his descendants are to be the channels through which God will bless every family on earth. This threefold promise echoes through the whole rest of the Bible. Abraham and Sarah's great-grandson saves Egypt from famine, not through magic or personal power, miracles, but through wisdom and good management. We'll talk about Joseph next week. When the Hebrew people were called into covenant at Mount Sinai, you remember the Ten Commandments? They were told that they were supposed to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation for the whole world. They are supposed to be God's witnesses in the world. Nations will come to worship God in the temple that they built. And we Christians, of course, remember the blessing of Jesus Christ, who was a Jew, a descendant of Abraham and Sarah. These promises that God makes to Abram and Sarai are not quick fix things. They wait many years for a son. So many years that they end up naming him Isaac, or laughter, after Sarah laughs at the idea when God's messengers remind them that their son will come. The only piece of the promised land that Abraham ever owns in his lifetime is the burial plot he buys to bury Sarah. He himself is later buried there as well. But Abraham and Sarah believe in those promises. They stake their lives on those promises. They leave the land that they know and their families, and they go to the place that God says God will show them. They believe in God's promise of a son, even when it's been years, and they've already made other arrangements by means of Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar. Abraham believes God's promises, and he's even willing to sacrifice that son when he believes that's what God wants, because he knows that God will provide. Abraham and Sarah live their lives in faith. This threefold promise, descendants, land, and blessing, binds this family to God and binds God to this family. God repeats these promises to their son, Isaac, and to his son, Jacob. They live their lives in faith, and they teach that faith to their families. And God keeps those promises in God's time. Abraham and Sarah do have many descendants. Their son Isaac has two sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau has many children, and his descendants become the Edomites, who gradually fade out of the spotlight of our story. Jacob has 12 sons and at least one daughter. His son's descendants are the 12 tribes of Israel. God does eventually give that land to Abraham's descendants after God brings them out of slavery in Egypt. The Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, are blessed. In a time and a region of the world where most of the once great peoples have simply disappeared from the face of the earth, people like the Akkadians, the Amorites, the Gambalu, the Kassites, the Luwians, and many others, the Hebrew people survived. They even seemed to thrive, no matter what anybody did to them. And they were a blessing to the peoples around them. The educated Jewish people were a great benefit to lands all over the world. God kept God's promises. As Christians, we too have been blessed to be a blessing. God has made promises to us too. Our promises are different from Abraham's, though. We have not all been promised a church pew full of descendants. We have not been promised dominion over the land, or worldly wealth, or good health as long as we live. These are all good things, but watch out for anybody who tells you God has promised them to you in this life. But listen to what God has promised. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Come unto me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do not fear, only believe. Abraham and Sarah had faith, faith that God would keep God's promises, even when God apparently wasn't doing it yet. Even when God did not keep God's promises in their lifetimes, they continued to have faith. They continued to live their lives as blessings to those around them. And God kept every one of God's promises to Abraham and Sarah. We who've been blessed just as surely as Abraham and Sarah were, and given even better promises than they were, well, we can live our lives to be blessings to other people too. We can give money and material goods, yes, but that's not all. We can give mercy and justice and respect. We can give others something more precious than gold, our time. We can refuse to take away the dignity that God gave to our brothers and sisters. We can encourage others rather than criticize. We can love our neighbors even when they're not ready to love us back. Because in the end, we know that God has made us promises, and God will keep them. Thanks be to God. Amen.